Here's a claim. Young people today, Muslims in general, do not need dialectical theology. Ilm al-Kalam. What does dialectical theology mean? It's the ping pong of ideas. You serve me, I got to respond to you, right? My response and the you're jamming me into this question will produce from me an answer I would never have come up with by myself. That's the meaning of dialectical theology. The claim that people, youth, do not need dialectical theology. They need iman, ibadah, and suhbah. Well, I would view it as like this. You cannot say a home doesn't need security, doesn't need protection, doesn't need locks. That's not what makes a home. What makes a home is love, sharing, company, eating together, hanging out together, forgiving one another. That's totally a true statement. But that will all be destroyed if a thief can enter the house. Now, here's where I find that to be fallacious. Because when you compare two things in that manner and say, this is what we need, this is what we don't need, the assumption is you can only choose one. And we're not obligated to do that. There's no reason, nothing jamming us from obligating. Do we engage in dialectical theology and answer the questions that atheists, Christians, or misguided sects inside of Islam are throwing at us? Of course, you got to answer these questions. But the part of the claim that's correct is that iman is located in the heart. And if the heart is clean and healthy, iman grows with worship, with the study of what Allah Ta'ala brought us directly. Forget the dialectical theology. With study of the law and practice of it and the stories of prophets and all of the meat and the real protein of religion. That's what will grow iman. Such a person still can be fooled and duped. That's the problem. Such a person can be misguided, no matter how beautiful and pious his heart is. Just like a wonderful home. Mom cooks dinner, dad goes to work, comes back, takes a shower, sits down with the family, eats a beautiful dinner. Then they have dessert. Then dad goes with one of the kids to pray Isha in the mosque. Yeah, that family could be destroyed if you don't have locks on your doors. So kalam is viewed to us as the locks on the doors. If someone fires at us in some capacity, we better change the siding of the house. Well, that's not the original siding that it came with. Yes, we're going to add now. We have to respond to guys firing. Back in the old days, he may come with a bat. Today, he's coming with a gun. I got to be ready for that, right? Not going to say, you know what? Dad never dealt with guns. He only dealt with his fist. Well, grandpa only dealt with his fists. Dad dealt with a bat. Well, we're in a new generation now, right? Next generation, shotgun. What is the new generation? Well, the Wi-Fi could get hacked in this house. Everything is by Wi-Fi now, right? The lock, ring. So now you're going to need a new generation. Now they're going to say, gun? You can probably get that. A lock? Yeah, you can probably get that. But we need to make sure that actually some person can't hack into our ring. I'm talking, ring is, you know, the Amazon ring, where you could literally open garage doors, right? You could do a lot of things if your house gets hacked. That's where we're headed, right? So great grandpa, yeah, he dealt with fists. Next one dealt with a stick. Next one dealt with a gun. Next one is going to deal with cybersecurity. All right, so that you got to be updated. Now, what's good? Back in the old day, grandpa and grandma used to sit around and have dinner together. And that's why the relationships were good. And they would sleep early. Those aspects are good. So in some aspects, you want to go backwards. And that's what's good. In another aspect, you want to move forward. So that's where dialectical theology and worship are both necessary. I want to note the difference between real life and the internet. The online, to me, it's a place of debating. It's a place of ideas. It's a place where people research answers, and it's a place where people put out their ideas and attack other ideas. Funny thing is that the people that in the masjid, it's just like two different worlds. There are people that I know in the masjid every day. They are not on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And there are people that are on those things, they're not in a local masjid. It's like two different worlds. The one world is all the latest masail, the latest questions, the latest debates, the theological debates, names of groups. It's just like mudslinging to a degree, but it's also a lot of meaningful debates. If you take the question and answer it properly, people can learn something. Inside the masjid, it's none of that, right? It's literally in homes. When we have gatherings, it's akhlaq. It's adab. It's mahabba. It's support. It's love. It's sharia, ibadah, dua, dhikr. And once in a while, mas'ala ilmiya. Right? Once in a while, a mas'ala of a debate or something like that. That's a big difference. So that's the other thing. There's probably, I would say, 1-2% of youth, as they come up and their mind starts to work, that ask and demand, need answers to certain questions. Otherwise, it's not going to work with them. Those people need direct access to answers. And that's why you have to literally flood the internet with it. The internet's like a huge pool, right? Every day, there are more and more hoses being put into the pool, right? And you see the immediate release of the hose, and then it gets diluted. So what do you need? You need to have a hose constantly running with the same water. You can't, it's not like the old days where a sheikh would have his books and you would buy the sheikh's books and you're going to read them. So he doesn't need to repeat himself. The internet's the opposite. You must repeat yourself. You can't say something in a blog post or YouTube or Twitter one time. It's going to be so diluted. You need to constantly repackage it, repurpose it, repost it. So that, boom, as soon as someone looks it up, it's right there. And that's why they do. They take old clips, redo it into a new clip, or just re-answer the same question. It's just got to be constant. So it looks like you're doing a lot of that. That's all you do. It's not all you do, right? It's just one sliver of life. And lastly, I would say that dialectical theology or kalam, it only exists because someone else threw rocks. Security on houses only exists after someone stole, right? Same thing with dialectical theology, where you're asking a question that has never been asked before. Now, it does have an answer. مَا فَرَّطَنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We haven't left anything out of this book. It does have an answer. It may not come from the explicit text. It may come from the lawazim of text. Again, the lawazim is the necessary implication of a text. So that's where these new answers will have a right and a wrong. There will be right and wrong to these questions. Why are these questions coming up? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shaytan, what does he say about Shaytan? يُوحِي إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. Shaytan, Allah warned us, Shaytan is constantly, nonstop, whispering to his followers, those people who are far from the mercy of God, are misguided, and following the path of Shaytan. Shaytan now has access to them. He whispers to them, argue with this, say that. Did Shaytan stop arguing with us? Did he stop inspiring and whispering to his followers to argue with you? Did he stop after the third generation? Such that we could say, okay, all theology is done. Three generations and that's it. You're not going to answer half the questions then. And if something is harming the Muslims, it becomes a fard kifaya to find a solution.